Greetings to a special edition of An Encouraging Word. It is my tribute to Dr. Jerry Falwell. It was his vision and passion that took my family to a far country. This is also my humble study about vision, a word not frequently discussed in detail. Vision is more difficult to understand than saying a person has courage. Courage is usually easily seen, instantly, like pulling someone out of a burning car. In his book, titled Falwell Autobiography, on page 479, he said, "God has a vision for you. Don't settle for second best. Don't ever retire. Don't ever quit. Let your vision become an obsessive reality." That is exactly what he lived out in his own life, before me and millions of like-minded followers. He once said, "Vision is the eye of faith to see the invisible." Habakkuk 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon a tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." I think that vision is more than unseen thoughts and dreams. It is the living of it into a reality. Eventually, the results of vision are seen, but it may take years and untold amounts of courage to fulfill a vision and to have it revealed to all. Upon looking up vision in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, I was surprised to see very little on the word, especially in trying to describe my pastor, mentor, employer, boss, and friend, Dr. Falwell. The dictionary does say vision is something seen otherwise than by ordinary sight, as in a dream or a trance. Now, as far as I know, Dr. Falwell never experienced an actual vision in his sleep, or a picture on a wall, or writing on a cloud while walking along the Liberty Mountain trails that he loved so much. While nothing appeared in the sky, who could deny he saw it in his mind's eye? The next description of vision is a little better and says, "a vivid picture created by the imagination." Dr. Falwell could see what he wanted to have happen way before others, and they did not completely understand it. He wrote it down and spoke of it often for others to grasp the idea. Maybe that is why God allowed him to lead the way. People heard the same things over and over until they could see the dream and not only see it, but never forget it. Those who became attached to his plans held on tight and jumped aboard. We see his vision and passion when we look at what has taken place and is taking place today on Liberty Mountain and at Thomas Road Baptist Church. Who can deny that both are miracles of God and all has been done in the last 50 years? In fact, the one thing I recall best about his life and thinking process in the years from 1979 through May 15, 2007, is that Dr. Falwell was a practical thinker and certainly not some wild-eyed dreamer. Of his 1,000-plus sermons I've listened to over the past 27 years, my belief is that he always tried to see things from God's point of view. That was his passion. When he failed to see things correctly, I think he made it right in his own way. I recall him saying, "When you have words with someone over something, settle it and don't open it back up. You will just stir up the mess and be slowed down in your mission. Put it under the blood and go on for God, determined to not make that same mistake again." I believe he used this kind of process of thinking in finding his vision. Dr. Falwell studied the Bible, and out of that washing of the mind process came his convictions, and out of this came vision. His passion came from above, and it was energized by his daily and unceasing devotion to prayer. He bathed his thoughts and the ideas with prayer until the vision became clear. I heard him say, "Nothing is accomplished that makes an eternal difference apart from prayer." The word visionary is defined as someone who is idealistic and/or an impractical person. Dr. Falwell certainly set ideals as in a standard of excellence. He wanted his coaches, professors, and employees to live right and do their best, all for God's glory, and to build champions for Christ. I guess, in that sense, he was impractical. It is easier to just go with the flow and not buck the trend. Being practical in a society caught up in political correctness and in a morality collapse was not practical in the world Dr. Falwell wanted. You might be thinking, how did Dr. Falwell's vision and passion impact Frank Landry? I lived in Vincennes, Indiana, for nearly 42 years of my life, except for my 4 years in Atlanta, Georgia, while attending Georgia Tech. Then a life-changing thing happened. I heard about a big meeting about 120 miles away in my state capital. It was billed as the first moral majority meeting, and it was going to take place at the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. The year was 1979. That night I heard Dr. Falwell share his vision for a school called Liberty. Passion burst out like rays of sunshine as he said, "We are building champions for Christ in Lynchburg, Virginia." How I enjoyed his fresh wind of clarity and conviction. God was giving me a vision. God had given him a plan, a vision, and I wanted to be a part of it. However great the idea sounded to me, it was not likely to ever happen. I had a business to run and a family to raise in my hometown of Vincennes, Indiana, like my parents and grandparents had done. Besides, I knew no one in this place called Lynchburg. I didn't even know that its claim to fame was Chapstick and Fleet Enema. All I did know was that I had heard a great man speak to us. Driving home with what seemed to be 1 foot of air beneath my car, with the road beneath the air, was just the start of a whirlwind change coming my way. My Christian walk had begun in 1970, and I had told God to send people to me at my family's old home site, which I had converted into my office. I saw it like a spider in the web. My idea was to lead them to the Lord there. God has other plans for each of us, and He will find a way to get you to the place He wants. I've learned that truth. So it was with me and my family. When our oldest daughter was a senior in high school, it was time to find a college. My wife and I agreed that a Christian evangelical college was what God would want for her. I began to ask people who were in Christian ministry about Liberty and Dr. Falwell. Being I was on the Tri-State Youth for Christ's board of directors, I asked their director of evangelism his opinion. George Dooms had nothing but good things to say. Of course, there were many others who told me Dr. Falwell was a troublemaker and not to be trusted. After looking at a couple of schools nearby, we headed to Virginia to look over Liberty. Lisa loved it there. We prayed for her to make the right decision about going to Liberty, not realizing we were about to make the move with her. In fact, I will let her share how that decision impacted her life. Here is our daughter, Lisa Rice.
America lost a great leader the day Jerry Falwell died. He wasn't perfect, but he was Christ-like. He was approachable, principled, compassionate, and fun. I count it both an honor and joy to have known him. In college, he was my pastor and chancellor. Eventually, he became my boss. As a communications graduate fresh out of Liberty, he entrusted me with a dream job. Jerry Falwell Live aired weekly on Atlanta's superstation TBS. Each program, he highlighted matters he'd spend a lifetime addressing, such as abortion, gambling, pornography, and evolution. He hired me to produce segments clarifying both sides of the issue. Along the way, I met the men and women who would help shape our country's direction. Ronald Reagan, Jesse Helms, Newt Gingrich, C. Everett Koop, Beverly LaHaye, Pat Buchanan, and William Bennett, to name just a few. It was the late 80s. Political leaders and televangelists were fodder for the press, and some warranted it by their lack of wisdom, secret dalliances, and private indiscretions. Through it all, Jerry Falwell was above reproach. Many have shared their own stories of this one-of-a-kind man. Some he helped spiritually, others he aided financially, and still more he assisted on a physical level. They were outcasts, alcoholics, or young women facing the decision of life or death for their unborn children. Each account has been especially real and personal. That one man could do so much in 73 years is a testament to living life to its fullest. My life has definitely been bettered. Because of Liberty University, I met my husband, with which I've had the privilege of parenting 5 children. Because of Dr. Falwell's determination and example, I learned to go beyond the status quo, to stand by my convictions and trust God with my dreams. Some people come into the world and barely make a ripple. Jerry Falwell left a riptide of influence for generations to come and encouraged others to do the same. Time and talent are gifts from God. Dr. Falwell made the most of them. He's probably doing the same thing in heaven right now.
Thank you, Lisa. We will be right back after these messages for part 2 of my tribute to Dr. Jerry Falwell and our study on the word vision.